What a great group we have here. And I'm thankful for each one of them. I'm thankful for each one of you. I know, as these guys get settled in, I know that you guys were praying for us. For us to leave with, 73, 74 people and come back with almost that many is an answer to prayer. It's a miracle. But seriously, we do covet your prayers. We thank you for your giving. We thank you for your investment in that way. For you guys, next, I would like I always do, I think the leaders up here, these guys serve selflessly, leaving their jobs, leaving their families to go spend a weekend with no heat, no warm water, and 50-some kids, right? So let's give a hand to our leaders, to these guys. And then somewhere between leaders and the kids, we have college-age kids, which have gone and served selflessly. It was cool to see this year a great group of them go and just pour and invest in these kids' lives. This year's retreat theme was the good life. And David Grant, how many of you guys remember David Grant? Awesome. He was our youth pastor here. I didn't realize, like, since 92 to 2000 or 93, somewhere there, he had been here a long time. And he was actually youth pastor when I came here. And he's a great guy. And we asked him, I saw him again at a conference this year and asked him to come back and speak for us. And surprisingly, he said yes. And came and did a wonderful job just pouring out, reading basically out of 1 Peter. He started on Friday night, we got up there, and he talked about a firm foundation. And he used the parable where Jesus is teaching and talks about two builders. Whether one the first builder heard the word and put it into practice and said he was like the wise man that dug deep and found rock and then began building his life there. And the other man was the foolish man that heard the words but forgot and didn't put them into practice and built his house on the sand. It was great to start out that way. It was a great place to start. And then the next morning talked about a true identity, talking about who am I? And we looked in 1 Peter and it says, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, saying that, not that you are a specific person, you by yourself. It's saying you are a people. God has brought you into a family, and he's given you a purpose there and that. Like, just finding your identity and that God has called us his own. And that was Saturday morning. Saturday night, he talked about what? You guys remember? It was really impactful. from there, he went on to a living hope. No, was that first? A true identity, right? Then we talked about that one. A beautiful life is what it was, right? A beautiful life came first, I'm sorry. And talked about, and that's actually where our 1 Peter 2:12 verse, can any of you guys quote this? Say it. Yeah, yes. That's what they got. Live such good lives. And he said, Gentiles, words, pagans. And David even talked about pagans. Not like we go to school and, all right, pagans, here we go. But that we look and see, we're separated. We're pulled apart. And we want to live such beautiful lives. It says good lives. And David told us the translation of that is literally beautiful lives. That they may see your beautiful deeds, your good deeds, and praise God on the day he returns. And just what an impact that thinks of, like, you think we're supposed to live in such a way. And he talked about what that looks like. It's really just going and letting the Spirit of Christ flow through your life. It's letting him be hope, be peace, be joy, be patience, be kindness. Just to, as you go back to school. And then the last session was a living hope. We talked about Sunday morning, kind of talking about, now how do we do that? Like what is our purpose here as believers? How are we going to put that into practice? And it was just really impactful. We had a wonderful, on Sunday night, we kind of just opened up and have a share time where we just let the students or even the leaders talk to God out loud, where we can all be encouraged by that. And we want to bring back a piece of that here now. So we hope as we share that it's not just us giving a report, that it's us honoring God and praising him for the work he's done through you, through us, for us, and just how good he is. So I'm going to open it up now To anyone who would like to share, I think I'm going to find a microphone. Or whoever would not like to share but would go first. You want to go first? Come on up here. Go.
Hi. The main takeaway for me was the power of prayer. It started on the Wednesday night before. I believe you brought up just the connection with God through prayer, and he wants to be with us. And so I tried taking that with me past Wednesday, but actually living that. And then, so I was trying to do that every single morning and whatnot, staying with him because he wanted to be with me. And so I did that throughout the winter retreat, through the devotion time. It was an hour long of just basically prayer with God. And, you know, we all have our different things we're thinking about or struggling, and just being able to talk with him is really reassuring. And that's one thing I really wanted to carry on even past the winter retreat, because lots of people, you know, they get on this spiritual high of after retreat, you know, I feel so good with God, and then after a week or 2 weeks or however long, you just kind of lose that. And so that's one thing that I've learned through this retreat, is that if we don't continue that prayer and continue wanting to spend that time with him, then that's how it gets lost. And so just that's what I got away. It's the power of prayer and just staying with him. Because even when we don't feel like he's working, or those are the way makers, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. It's through prayer that we can see that. So that's what I got.
Awesome. Thank you. I chose Ethan to go because he actually talked about what I talked about. So that's awesome. The Wednesday night before. But no, we did. We started a couple weeks before we left for retreat talking about prayer, because I hate it hearing people say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know, and we've been down here discussing prayer and from Matthew, and really it's nothing more than just communicating with God. And first we got to come in with a humble heart. We approach the throne of God in reverence and in awe. But then we grow into this relationship that he wants to know our heart as we want to know his, and we get to know him. And so that was great. It was awesome. He referenced, we did have an hour-long devotions in the morning, and we asked that to just be a quiet time. And I thought, oh man, these kids are going to kill me. Like, we're going to go from like 70-some going this year to 20 next year because of this. And it was just cool to see how God worked in that quiet time. So thanks for sharing there, Ethan. Anybody who would like to go next? Go, Jacqueline.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the worship. All weekend long, all the songs just reminded me just to always praise God, never stop praising God. And just always know that he's working in our lives.
Awesome. Thank you. You want to sing one of them? Oh. Worship time is always a great time. And it's like we get surprised every year we go. And it's like, why wouldn't it be? Because we're standing in front of God. We're standing in the presence of God, just singing of his attributes and of his love after we spent the day reading in his word, speaking of his word, praying, being around the fellowship and others that are pointing us to God's word and his truth. So each year, it's just a sweet time of just being in his presence with his people, lifting our voices, giving our energy to him. So awesome. Thank you, Jacqueline. Who would like to go next? Yes, Shaylee. This is Shaylee Weatherford.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to try to speak English with you guys. As long as you guys can understand like 50% of what I say, I feel good about this. But I feel like worship whenever I'm at winter retreat is one of the, like, it's when I feel like it's the most powerful, because you're separated from a lot of the worries of the world. And the time I really want to talk about is whenever Jonathan told the story of Moses, and he said God told him to take off his shoes whenever he was on the holy ground with the burning bush. And he said, if you feel comfortable, I want you to get on your knees and take off your shoes and worship. And I was like, yeah, okay. I expected like three people to do it. And then I looked around. Four people got on their knees at once. Eight people joined them. And then suddenly, the entire room was on their knees. Everyone. And we were all just singing with like our hands raised. And I saw God. And I feel like that just increased our bond and allowed us on Sunday night to just share with everyone what we probably wouldn't even share with our closest family members. And I wanted to thank you all for supporting this winter retreat and sharing your sharing and giving and allowing your children to come, because without you, this would not be possible.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shaylee. Awesome. I would say that's probably 100%, right? That was pretty clear. That was awesome. Thank you, Shaylee. That idea was actually awesome because Madison's not even here today, is she? Madison did that to us one night up on Wednesday night up in youth. She asked us to get on our knees and just praise God that way. And this has been several months ago. And then I had Sarah come to me the Wednesday before we left for winter retreat and said, hey, you remember when we did that where we got on our knees? Could we do that on a winter retreat? Because that was really powerful for me. When we have students come and ask to challenge them, to step outside of their comfort zone, how awesome is that? Like, praise God for that. That was a really cool experience there. Anyone else? Yes, Abby.
So a few months ago, my friend Grace, she invited me here to Eastwood. And at the time, I just wasn't really close to God. I didn't have a youth group. I was like, yeah, you know, school, friends. I put God at the bottom of my list, and that's not where he should have been. And so then I started coming to this youth group, and I started realizing how these people were here for the right reasons, not just here for the social aspect, and they were here for God. And I really connected with a lot of people here, and I understood how much they just loved God, and they were supportive, and they weren't going to be hurtful. And I really just felt like I belonged. And then I ended up kind of missing a few weeks, and I was kind of feeling away from God, and I just really wanted to put him back in my life. And so Grace, again, she invited me on the winter retreat. And so I decided to go. And at the time, there was a lot going on, so I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to make it. But I decided that I really should go. And so I ended up going, and I just had an amazing weekend. I really, truly felt God there. And I realized, like, truly, truly realized that I belonged with these people, that I would rather be here than anywhere else, worshiping God with people that I know are like family and that can love me. And just, it was a really wonderful experience going and worshiping God and just being there for God.
Awesome. Thank you. That's powerful. That's awesome. That makes me think of two things. One, being in that room and looking around and just seeing that I don't see students. I don't see leaders. I don't see teenage, college age. I see a family. It was powerful to see that whole weekend just move as a family. The second thing, one thing David kind of talked about is, in his past, he'd been in church, and I'm sure several of you guys kind of can relate to this, where churches, you seem to go, and you have to get your behavior right so that you can go and be part of a church and then start to believe. And then after you get your behavior right and you believe the right thing, then you belong. And I'm so grateful for a church that flips that completely upside down, that comes in and says, you know what, you belong. And that's what you need to know first and foremost, that you belong in the family. God's created you to be part of this. And as you're being part of that, you start to understand what his heart is and how to believe and put your trust and your faith in him. And we all know that if you get those two right, the behavior is going to fall in line. If you're believing, you're putting your life and your trust wholly in Jesus Christ, your behavior is going to match that. What a powerful thing. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, Jack, come on up. Cash, you can go ahead and stand up. You can stand up for moral support.
Okay. So this is my first time going ever, and I just really loved it because I actually heard God talk to me there, and I felt the power working through him, through everybody there, and I just love going there. I wish we could go there, like, every week. Yeah. I just love everybody's stories, and I just heard God talk to me there.
Awesome. Thank you, Jackson. I love him like a son. It's amazing. That is my middle son. But actually, I don't know how many times I heard that at the end of the week. It's like, I don't want to leave this. I don't want to go back. I feel God's presence here, and I don't want to lose that. And what's awesome about that is to be able to tell them, you know what, everything we're doing here, we can do at home. We can recreate what you're feeling and how you're connecting with God there. Yeah, you don't have the friends around you encouraging you, like, directly in your presence, but we're all here. We all want to encourage each other to get in the Word, to spend time with him, to pray, to sing praises, to talk about it, open up and share what you're struggling through. So thank you, Jackson.
This is my first year on Winter Retreat, and it was really special because my sister was here and my cousin was here, and I'm pretty sure it was Asya that said first year's always the best, and that was true. And worship was really just the best part about Winter Retreat because it was really a life-changing experience, and you don't want to leave. You just want to stay there and worship God because you can really feel his love and joy there. You feel him and you really grow in your faith. Like, I wanted to just worship him and instead of 1 hour, go 2 hours and longer because it was awesome. And I'm really glad that a lot of people came this year because, you know, Carter, this was your first year coming, and your sister, and I'm just so glad that you and your family came to this church because you guys are like a family to me, along with all you guys. I mean, not only are we brothers and sisters in Christ, but like we're all brothers and sisters. We're all a one big family, and this has just been one of the greatest life-changing moments that I've ever been in. Because this is amazing. And if I wasn't already a Christian, then I would have been a Christian this weekend.
Awesome, thanks. That's tag worthy. Like, that's going to be our new saying, right? If you're not already a Christian, you'll be a Christian after you attend Winter Retreat. And I'm trying to figure out, how do you know that this is the best year? This is your first one. It's the best so far. So, thank you, Cash.
I'm guessing it was the best because I was there, but
Maybe that was it.
One thing I wanted to say is, you know, in 3 John we see that he says, I have no greater joy than to see my children follow the Lord and to walk in truth. And Todd and I get the opportunity to work with the college kids. And even though I didn't birth any of them, it is like watching people that you pour into, watching your children invest. And one of the ways that I saw them walking in truth is getting outside their comfort zone, loving on kids, some of them even just talking. I know some of them don't ever want to speak to people. Some of them don't want to be in uncomfortable circumstances, have cold water or whatever. But to see the college-age kids love on these high school and middle school students was a real blessing and a real treat. And I'm grateful that they went, and I'm grateful that I got to see them pour into the next generation.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. For sure. Let me echo that because I got to see some of the behind the scenes on some of these guys, whether they're going or not going. And they made sacrifices to be there. Everyone did, but it was cool to see their stories. And as adults, you just kind of choose what you do. As teenagers, like, life seems to kind of choose for you. And to see them choose over that, and even like Abby, like you were talking about, just choosing over life, that I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to make him a priority. You get so much more when you do that, which was awesome. Is there anyone else? I've turned my back to this side. No one else? No one at all? Okay. Well, with that, come on, Asya. I'm just joking. You're tough. Asya speaks her mind, so I hope she doesn't hear, but
I had the best group leader ever, Miss Jessie. So the week before, winter retreat was kind of hard. Some people were mean at school, and it just wasn't a good environment. And so I just really was, like, sad going into retreat because I knew they would, like, love me and all that, but it was just really hard. And so there I just realized that I needed to have an attitude and a heart shift towards people because, like, since people were mean to me, I was, like, kind of thinking bad things about myself, and I was taking that out on them, and I was really sorry. And I apologized to them Sunday night, but God just spoke to me to have an attitude change.
Awesome. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah. We on Sunday night, we kind of have that opened where some people confess, some people just proclaim his goodness. And that's kind of the environment we want to live ongoing, isn't it? Just a place where if we need to confess something, if something's keeping us away from God, even if it seems like good things, it's not good. You're not in a place to hear from him, to speak with him, to praise him. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, Aaron. And Allison, we'll get you. She's wearing her thing because she didn't have her T-shirt. She don't want you guys to know, but I was pointing out.
So I didn't get to go on retreat, but I do have the ninth grade girls on Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night, I said, all right, ladies, I didn't get to go, fill me in. Let's just have like a debriefing. And everyone started talking at once. And so we're like, okay, well, just let me know, you know, what some of the teaching was. And they got out their notes. Some of them had taken notes. They could say it, you know, point one, two, three. And I said, so what does that mean? Our part of our calling as leaders is to lead, not to just sound like Christians, but to actually live like Christians. And I said, so what does it mean when your identity is found in Christ? Because that sounds good. And but you all had to face Tuesday morning. And one of the ladies said, well, God had revealed to me that when I'm in a particular situation, that if I don't do well in that situation, I feel negative about myself, and I want to do better. And it really affects who I am and who I think I am. And she said, this weekend, I realized that that situation doesn't get to define me, that I am defined by Christ. And I said, that is a beautiful way that, that scripture is living in it, and it changes us. And I said, ladies, you know, don't let your age define you. You are spiritual leaders, and they really are, so.
Yeah, for sure. We have such a great group of kids, and I told Erin when she came into that ninth grade role, I'm like, you're getting a rock star group because this is a great bunch. And I think it's cool to see. We had a younger group, and they're starting to grow and mature. It's going to be awesome to see the next generation come up under them and what they're going to do. Go ahead, Allison.
So I'll try to keep this as short as I can, but my biggest takeaway is that God put you in a situation for a reason. Okay, so I went into winter retreat with not the best attitude because if you know me, I'm an eighth grader and I'm there's only a couple of us and I'm like, I'm the oldest and there's all these sixth graders. I'm like, I'm gonna be the oldest one in the cabin and I'm like, And so we're on the ride there and I'm with three middle schoolers and I'm like, okay, this, you know, might be fun. I'll just play some Disney music. And I actually had a really good time, and like God didn't only put me in their lives for a reason, they put them in mine. Like, they poured into me. Like, they were like, Allison, you're so awesome. And I'm like, what? like I can pour into them just like the leaders and the youth pour into me, and that really hit me hard. Like, I might not get to hang out with my older friends, but I get to hang out with some new people and pour into them.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Powerful. What a great challenge for you guys, huh? Like, can't we see that? I'm going to wrap it up unless there's just somebody that is on fire. Sarah, okay, you almost missed it. Come on.
Can I stay here?
You can stay there.
Okay, so coming out of the weekend, this isn't, it has something to do with the weekend, but like coming out of it, one of the things that David challenged us to do was, like he said, okay, every morning I want you to say a prayer. I want you to pray, like, God, please bring me someone that I can bless today. So Tuesday morning I woke up and I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that, see what happens. And I went to school, well, I'm homeschooled. I went to Spanish class, and I sat next to this girl, and I was, like, telling her how tired I was from the tree, and she was, like, and she'd been out of town over the weekend. She was, like, yeah, she was in Florida, and she said, yeah, my mom woke me up at 3 in the morning, and she said, hey, I think I have pneumonia. You need to drive me back home, which is, like, 11, 12 hours to urgent, so we can go to urgent care. And she's 15, by the way. She's actually 16 today. So she doesn't have her license, and she was just telling me that. And I, one of the things that David said, he's like, it doesn't have to be anything big. Like, even if you're just there for someone, like, that works. And so I was just there, and I was able to be there for her. And, you know, in the back of my head, I was like, should I, like, pray for her? Should I, like, tell her that I'm going to pray for her family, which I have been doing. And guess what I did? I chickened out and didn't do it. So Thursday, I went back to class, and we started this new thing where my teacher's like, okay, we're going to start praying for each other. And she goes, okay, today, Sarah, you're going to pray for Talia. That's her name. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy, because there's 16 kids in my class, and like it was like 1 out of 32 chance. And I was just able to just like encourage her and lift her up in prayer, even though I chickened out. So it's kind of like God giving me a second chance. And I just loved that so much. So, yeah.
Awesome. So do you want to pray for us now? Huh? No. Oh.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. I would stand up, but my foot's asleep, so I don't think that would work very well.
Plus, you can't stand still when you stand up. We
yeah,
saw that.
Yeah. I'd bounce. And also, I wasn't planning on saying anything, so I don't really know what's going to come out. But okay, so the week before retreat, or not the week, but sometime before retreat, I just, like, I was wanting to get closer with God, but, and I felt like he was using me, but I was kind of, like, putting him aside and letting all my other, like, distractions with school and kind of earthly distractions distract me. And I just wasn't making God my first priority. And going on the retreat just kind of, like, revealed that for me. And, like, it just brought me so much clarity, and I've already been able to, I just see God work. I don't mean that in a private way, but, like, he's just put people in my life that I've been able to share the gospel about with him. And then just seeing all the leaders and students and seeing them love each other and, like, love Christ so genuinely was just amazing. And there aren't any words to do it justice, and I just wish everybody could have been there to experience it, because I've just never felt God work and or just feel his presence so intensely, I guess, and it was just life-changing.
Awesome. Thank you. It was pretty funny, even for me, getting some feedback from David. I talked to him a couple days after retreat, and I said, you know, kind of what was your overall impression? And I never thought I'd hear these words, but he's like, kind of need to loosen up a little bit. Like, I thought, man, I would never hear that. But we did. We just had a real structured regimen of just staying on course and focusing towards God. And I was like, and none of these guys died from that, which was awesome. But like, isn't that what we want for ourselves? We want to discipline ourselves. We read that we should train ourselves to hunger and thirst for him. I want to issue just kind of a challenge for you guys. Are you guys up for that? And then we'll close this up. This has nothing to do with retreat, but with our youth. We went to a Pray For Me campaign with Tony Salter. It was actually a banquet. And there he was talking about people, kids and youth, and the research they did to see youth when they got out of school leaving the church. And what they found in them, they were ones that weren't fully connected. They didn't have multiple touches from people in the church. But the ones that stayed did. They had several people talking to them, investing in them. And I want to challenge you guys out here. I spent a lot of time trying to think of how I can get the youth connected with you guys through serving on Wednesday nights, through Saturday service, even just greeting, things like that. I want to challenge you guys to do the same, because we don't know what impact it may have. I'm thankful for David and the legacy he left behind. And Lisa, where are you at, Lisa? You want to stand up and share? Lisa does not want to share. But Lisa was one of those scary kids when she was here. When did you start going here? 89, 90. And like she has a testimony that she had people that she could just feel eyeballs burning her here. But she also found someone that absolutely loved her with the love of Christ. I think we're all capable of that. I think we all should just grow in that family even more and just be like, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for sharing, or thanks for coming. You're such a joy to see. Just anything like that. We don't know what that may change and alter the eternal, I mean, the rest of their lives, but their eternity as well. What a powerful way we can just show the love of Christ. Let me pray for us, guys, and we'll get out of here. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for giving me a home and your family, Lord, as we sing that we can be called your children. What a joy that is, that we can call you Dad. God, I just praise you, Lord. I thank you for the heart that you've given us to see others and to love them, to show them your heart. God, I pray that as we all go from here, that we're all challenged to step up in that. Lord, as Sarah testified here, it's scary at times. It's unnerving. But God, in our flesh, we're incapable. We can't do it. Only by your Spirit can we make eternal impacts, God. And we pray that we live in your Spirit, that we see your people, your chosen, and just speak your name, give you glory, give you honor. Lord, we love you and we praise your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.